It's time for our KRWC Book Club for the month of December of 2023. And each month we talk with a featured author, and in studio with us this morning, Amy Hammond Hagberg, back with us. She's been a guest previously. Amy, welcome back.
Hey, good morning.
We're going to talk about a few things, including your kind of Christmas-flavored book here, My Favorite Christmas, but we're going to also talk about some of the books that you've reviewed and liked a lot in 2023, so we welcome you. Shelley Garvey is with us here to kind of co-host here this morning.
Good morning. Hello, everyone.
I'll let you guys go ahead and chat to open things up here this morning.
Well, Amy, it's really great to have you back. We have done. We're going to talk a little bit about your favorite Christmas, My Favorite Christmas book. But you know, I guess I learned this morning, erringly, that we have done this before. But you know, it's nice to review. If you've, you know, sometimes it's nice to reread books. I do that. I reread books. Well,
not everybody has a copy of it, so,
that's,
you know.
Right. That's true. And they want one.
That's
for
right.
Sure.
Yes, exactly. And it's called My Favorite Christmas, compiled by Amy Hammond Hagberg. And it's a heartwarming stories from all kinds of different people a lot of them in the entertainment industry.
Yep, they're all celebrities. There are some athletes. I talked to people like Jerry Jenkins, who wrote the Left Behind series, Kurt Warner, the football player, and a whole bunch of other ones. Anthony Munoz, who is a Hall of Fame football player. Jimmy Carter has a chapter in here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, and it was just fun. They're happy stories about their favorite Christmas.
Did you talk to Jimmy Carter?
I didn't talk to Jimmy Carter. I talked to Jimmy Carter's people.
Okay.
And then they gave me something. But most of these people I interviewed.
Sure.
In fact, I have two other books that kind of started my writing career. And it was the same thing. I talked to people about their faith, and they're all really famous people.
We had
people.
That book on as well.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the first ones that we had when we first started the book club.
It was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And then, so I did that one, and then I did the second in the series, in that one, and then I did My Favorite Christmas.
Sure.
How do you reach out for interviews like that, or how do you get in touch with these people? You just go right after it?
Yeah, it's really hard, actually. Now it would be easier, but at the time when I first started, because I was a sales executive, when I first started writing, I go, oh, this is what I'm going to do, thinking, oh, yeah, no problem. They're all going to talk to me. And you know what? It was hard. Mm. You have to find their agent, typically. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and this was back, when I first started, 2005, so it was very difficult. Social media wasn't a big thing, so I couldn't message them there. But then people started referring their friends. Once I got going, and people, I had never written a thing, so their agents are like, no.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, once I started, people were forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good about it.
Interesting. Very good. And just give us a little synopsis. Each of these stories, obviously, is different, but they all have the same kind of theme.
Well, let's see. Let me see what's a good one. Some of them talked about... Let me see if I can find one.
The Jimmy Carter one was a good one. The Jimmy Carter one was a good one, I thought.
Where is he?
Nice, and how he wrote letters to... I think it was to his wife. And
yeah, let's see. And she just passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see how long this is. Oh, it's too long to read. But yes, he talked about his wife. He's a very devout Christian. So he shared some of his faith in here. A lot of them did. I mean, some of them talked about growing up and never being very poor and never having any gifts. And one of my, I've written three books with him, one of these guys, his name is Zorro. And he was so poor that his mother, he had no Christmas gifts. he asked for a Mickey Mouse drum set. Mm. And she had seven kids. She sold everything she could find and bought him that drum. And now he's a very famous drummer.
Wow.
His book is coming out about his mother, actually, in April. So this is a heartwarming story.
I think there was one story in here where the family was on their way to San Diego or someplace to celebrate Christmas, and they stopped along the way at a campground because they were they had all their Christmas presents wrapped, and they had everything in their RV and stuff, and they stopped and they saw this other this family who looked like they were living at the campground, and the father said, "You're going to learn a really good lesson in giving," because they cleaned out their RV of food, and each one of the kids took one of their presents and gave it to the kids. Mm-hmm. And the boy, or no, it was a girl, said that she wanted this doll really badly, and she was afraid, and she didn't know which package it was, but she ended up giving the doll to the girl, and at first she was sad, but then when she saw how happy the girl was, she was so, you know, it really warmed her heart to be able to give her that.
And you know who she is? That's her name is Natalie Grant. She is a really big time star in Christian music. Big time, travels all around the world, and that was a really sweet story. Mm-hmm. And I think she learned so much from that, and mm-hmm. that's why she's doing what she's doing today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was a good story.
It's interesting that, you know, famous or not, even just everyday people that you may run into or friends or anything, it's interesting that sometimes the most remembered Christmases are the, you know, by splurging and spending standards, some of the most meek or, some of the least extravagant ones.
I agree, because the extravagant ones, if you do that all the time, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all flash.
Yeah. And as a mother who tends to overdo her Christmas giving, help your listening husband, I notice it with my grandchildren that it becomes like, you know, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lesson in that for all of us, I think. Christmas isn't about presents, and we forget that so often.
Well, and I think, too, the fun part is the giving. You know, I mean, so many people, I don't like to get presents and stuff like that. And I go, well, you know, you're depriving someone else mm-hmm. of giving you something, and the pleasure of giving someone something, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be big and fancy. Just and accept it with grace and say thank you and know that they thought about you. So, I mean.
Exactly. And, you know, it's all about love languages. Mm-hmm. Years and years ago, I interviewed the author of the Five Love Languages book, which, gosh, I can't think what year that was. It's a long time ago. And it's been a bestseller since it was written. And it talks about that, you know, acts of service is one love language. I can't think what the giving one is, but that's my love language, is giving. Some people, it's physical touch. That's their love language, you know, mm-hmm. holding hands or whatever. But I think your point is really well taken, because if people didn't want gifts, my son's not a big, you know, fan of getting gifts. It makes me feel awkward. And I said that. I said, but I love to give them. So don't deprive me of that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Amy Hammond Hagberg with us on our book club here. Amy is a big book reviewer. And I think from previous shows, we talked about that a little bit. We're going to kind of shift gears here and go to some of the things that you liked in 2023. Books are a good gift. So here we go.
They're a fabulous gift. All right. So I do a lot of book reviews. I get them for free from publishers, new releases. And just as an example, not to be a braggart, but I read about 126 books last year.
Wow.
Wow.
And I review them all. Now, I'm a little behind, But people follow me. They follow me on my websites. They follow me on Goodreads, especially. If you're a reader, goodreads.com, you want to be there. So I compiled a list of my 5-star reads. And, you know, Goodreads goes 1 through 5. And I am kind of a book snob. So it's hard to get on this list. You know, I've got like 15 books out of 120.
But self-proclaimed book snob.
Oh, heck so yeah. I am not ashamed of my book snobbery.
Well, that's good.
All right. So my first, I don't have these in any order. It was a cut and paste job.
Okay.
But my first one is called The Echo of Old Books by Barbara Davis. And this one, actually, it was kind of hard to find. I found it on Kindle, but again, I get free copies. And this one is about a woman named Ashlyn Greer. She was a bookbinder and rare book dealer. Fiction. This is historical fiction. And her affinity for books extends beyond the scent of old paper, ink, and leather. She has a unique gift for sensing the emotions of the book's previous owners, so she could like touch them and feel what they were feeling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that sounds kind of woohoo, but it's not. So she's really intrigued when a man named Ethan donates a pair of books to the store, and they both are bound the same. They look the same, but there's no author information or publisher data. It is like this mysterious book. Well, her gift after that of reading these books becomes an obsession. So she researches the mystery of these books. That's kind of the whole foundation of the book. And she finds out that one book is written by someone named Hemi, and one is written by someone named Bell. But we don't know who they are beyond that. And there are conflicting accounts of the same tragic love story.
Hmm.
But they're mad at each other. So one is like, and they're doing the same thing. I remember reading it and thinking, oh, this poor woman, she was doing all this research. How nice it would have been for her to have the internet. But it was the 80s, so she's researching this in other ways. At any rate, she finds out that this was a profound love story between these two people who were set apart because of social standing. And it's, you know, I don't read romance, really, but this was not like that. This was just fabulous. It won the 2023 Goodreads Choice Award for Best Historical Fiction. So don't miss this one.
Hmm. Title again was?
The Echo of Old Books.
And the author is?
Barbara Davis.
Okay.
Now, and, you know, if anyone wants to find out about these, it'll be posted on my blog, which might be easier. It's just amyhagberg.com. All right, so the next one is going to be a fan favorite, I think. One of my very favorite authors is William Kent Kruger, who lives in St. Paul. He writes a series called The Cork O'Connor Mysteries, set in northern Minnesota. Just really good if you like mysteries. But he's also written a few standalones. And his latest is called The River We Remember. And it's set in a southern Minnesota town called Jewell in 1958. And everybody is in it goes to the parade, the Memorial Day, which was called Dedication Day at that time. And someone discovers a body floating in the river, and he's been shot, but nobody knows if it was suicide or a murder or an accident, right? Mm-hmm. Falling in the river. Anyway, people in the town go bonkers, and they blame a man named Noah Bluestone, who's Native American, a war veteran who not only has prejudice because he's Native American, but he also brought home a Japanese wife after World War II. She was a survivor of Nagasaki. So, anyway, it's just a fabulous book. He's a really great writer. His standalones were This Tender Land, which is so good, also set in Minnesota, and Ordinary Grace. So highly recommended.
That sounds like a good book.
Super good. And this was also a Goodreads Choice Award nominee for Best Mystery and Thriller. And so people vote on those. That's how these, it's not reviewers like me, it's people reading.
Excellent. Yeah, we can do a couple more here too.
All right. So the next one is completely different. It's called Drowning. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you that I do not like to fly.
Okay.
I have a real thing about flying. I have to take something to make it through. So why I picked this book, I'm not so sure. But it is about like 6 minutes after. Oh, this one's by T.J. Newman. Drowning by T.J. Newman. And 6 minutes after takeoff, Flight 1421 crashes into the Pacific Ocean. Right? And during the evacuation, an engine explodes and the plane is flooded. So a lot of people, you know, decide they're going to get out. Well, they don't survive, but some people stay in the plane because it's airtight for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's about, they're 200 feet below the surface, believe it, crazy. And they have to not only manage, you know, to get out, but they also have to not want to, you know, kill each other 200 feet below the surface.
That must have been difficult for you to read, knowing that you just told me about being a claustrophobic.
I was gasping for on behalf of these people. They had almost no time, and it was really emotional, but it was so gripping.
Powerful.
Yeah, and a real page turner. And so this one would be considered definitely a thriller.
All right. What else you got for us?
All right. My next one is called what happened to my thing? There we go. We Hope for Better Things. It's by Aaron Bartels, B-A-R-T-E-L-S. And it's about a disgraced journalist. It's kind of a long story, but she moved into her aunt's secret-laden farmhouse and discovers that women in her family were testaments to true love and courage. They, it was about racism. And this was, so she has to move into her aunt's old farmhouse and she finds a series of mysterious items, locked doors and hidden graves. And as she researches this, she finds out about some secrets in her family. This was in the 1960s. So it was about the Underground Railroad. So this one is considered, I would say, historical fiction and Christian fiction. So I read every genre there is except horror. Not into that. Don't do horror. Any more time?
Sure.
One more? Okay. Okay, this one, this was a hard book to read. It's called A History of Burning. Oh, don't worry. It's by Janika Oza. Oza. I'm thinking that's how you'd say it. So this one is about, it's based on an Indian, not like India from Asia, Africa. And his name is Peer Bahai. And he's a teenager looking for work, and he goes on this ship that's promised them work, and they dump them as slaves on the East African Railway, the British Railway. And one day, Peer Bahai, I'm embarrassed. If you're Indian, I'm so sorry. he commits an act to survive that is going to haunt him for the rest of his life. And it goes on to talk about his family. They end up in Uganda because a lot of people, I didn't know this, end up in Uganda from India. So it is just a fabulous, but kind of a sad. It's a pretty sad book. But man, did I learn a lot about, I love history and I love learning about what's happened in some of these countries, especially that I didn't know about. It's a long book, but man, it's super good.
Great. You do kids' books too, or read
yes.
kids' books?
In fact, I bought a couple for my daughter's children for Christmas, and I have to tell you, they were so good. They are big readers. My daughter homeschools.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought one of them a book called The World's Most Atrocious Animals.
Oh.
And it's by Philip Bunting. And as soon as they opened the gifts, it was like they didn't want anything else. They wanted to look at that. So it's got these little vignettes about animals, like what a cobra's like and what their venom is. They're all about it because it was about science. And then the other one is called The World's Most Ridiculous Animals. And they're like funny things like chameleons or this one kind of crab that takes on all the things around them. So there's like a piece of, well, you can see the picture. See this crab? It's got little bits of...
Yeah, it looks like a plant or a coral or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. So it's got all these different kind of funny things. So those are probably my two biggest favorites of this year.
Interesting. And what reading level are you talking about here? What ages would
you
say?
Oh, gosh. I would say maybe if they can read,
mm-hmm.
8 or 9.
Okay.
Maybe even 10 or 12. I mean, it's really fun.
Yep.
And my 9-year-old granddaughter just thought it was the coolest. And that wasn't even her present. So, but my daughter, you have an adult read because it's fun for us too.
Sure.
I learned all kinds of fun things.
Great deal. Tell us about your blog site again, where people can learn all about all the titles.
If you go to Amy Hagberg, HAGBERG.com, and you just go over to, tab over to blog. I think it says blog.
Okay.
And then you'll see them, because I usually post a book almost every day. And then once a month, I post my favorites. And then once a year, I post my favorites. And then also, you can find a link to my Goodreads or my Facebook, Instagram, Twitter accounts and find out more there.
You must be a speed reader. How do you get through 130 books in a year?
Gosh,
that's one every other day.
Watch much TV.
I don't. Well, but you know, I'm a gourmet cook, and I have a part of my blog is going to be this year, the gourmet bookworm, because I'm gonna. So, like for example, this one about India, I will post that, and I will also post an Indian recipe.
Sure.
So I'm a gourmet cook, and we'll eat. And then we go down and we watch like one episode of a show,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm up reading for 3-4 hours.
Wow.
I have insomnia, so I just read.
What's your opinion, just out of complete curiosity, and we didn't talk about this ahead of time, on audiobooks? You like those or no?
I do.
Yeah?
What I usually do, most people can't do this, is I get the audio version and the ebook version, because I get the ebooks for free,
mm-hmm.
and then I subscribe to some sites like Audible and Scribd, and I get the audiobook so I can alternate. So if I'm like, I don't know, cooking, I listen, and if I'm reading at night, I do the audio or the ebook. So that might make it go a little faster. You can find a great narrator. Here's the curse. If the author, him or herself, reads the book, you probably don't want to get it. They're usually, but others are great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to watch out because AI, artificial intelligence, they're starting to use that to narrate books. So they'll take snippets of a narrator's voice and rip them off. And so you want to make sure it's the real author. That is pretty frustrating.
I have been recently, now I have not heard that this might be an AI regeneration, but I've come across some books, particularly Sherlock Holmes mysteries and some other stuff, read by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Ooh, he's good.
And man, you want to talk about something that'll wrap you up. He does all the characters, you know, slightly different voices, inflections. He is fabulous.
He's good. Yeah. I'm going to read those then, because he's a really great actor.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. You would like, there's a series called Maisie Dobbs. Have you ever heard of these? She's like Sherlock Holmes, but she's in the 40s and 50s, and it's a woman. And they're so good. They're very much like Sherlock Holmes. But a female detective who is also a psychologist. So it's really, try those if you're into that sort of thing.
Well, the interesting thing with Benedict Cumberbatch is that he, of course, played the modern day Sherlock Holmes in the BBC series Sherlock, which I thought was, I was just an addict to that. But the ones that I have come across are all the more original, you know, 18th or 1800s Sherlock Holmes back in England. Interesting, though.
I have a hard time with audio because I tend to drift off into my own little world and forget to listen.
That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, or you drift off and sleep, which is not good if you're driving. So
no, that is not good. I put them, because of my sleep disorder, I put them in. So I'll read for a long time, put them in, and listen to the book and eventually fall asleep. So then I have to figure out where I left off, which is kind of not so good.
Oh, I do that too. I would do that too, yeah.
But I think for a lot of people, it's a good choice.
Yeah.
I would like to do that more, but it would be, every once in a while I go to Missouri to visit my mother long distance.
To go see your mom.
That's when I get on the phone and talk to people.
Got it.
But you're right, though, about whoever voices the book makes a big difference, you know?
Yes. Yeah, the monotone, you know, they've got to have inflections and stuff like that, because, I mean, if you get a monotone person, it's, like, boring.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, sometimes if I get one on Audible, because you pay for it, and if the voice is really bad, you can return it, and I'll get a different one.
You're rejected. I'm sorry.
Yeah, reject, because some of them are, I'm sorry, but... Like, we had one for my book club, and someone chose the book, and I got the audiobook, like I said I do, and I went, no way is this that bad. And everybody else who listened to it went, no, this gets a 2-star. You know, that's bad. Yeah. 2 stars is bad news, so...
We got to wrap up, Amy, but always
darn,
nice to
I
want to
stay some more.
Well, you can stay. We just can't.
Talk to
me. We have to keep doing something else.
Oh, you got advertisers, yeah. I suppose.
But always nice to see you, and interesting books here for this year. And Shelley, thank you for arranging everything.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to mention that we already have our author for January, which is Roger Steljes, is going to be returning with his brand new book, Their Lost Souls. And then we also have a new, in February, Nate Granzo is going to be in with his new book. And I don't even think I have a title on that yet. He said it, the front cover was due any day now, but we're going to have him on for February. And it's going to be very exciting because it's going to be fresh out. And then he's going to have a couple of events where book signing and stuff like that, and use Kendall and his band down at Hayes Pub and stuff. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. So we're very excited, you know, the new people or old people that we've had on before, just new books. So that's fun. That's fun.
But not old people.
No.
Well, no.
Just familiar.
There you go. Yeah. Because I'm sensitive about that now.
All right. Very good. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you, too. Merry Christmas.
Yep. You too. And we will be back next month, the third Thursday of each month. We have the KRWC Book Club here on KRWC. We'll check state and local news in brief next.